This pot smell is delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now, we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew.
Try this beef stew. Try this beef stew.
Yes, sirree. Ow. What's up, y'all out there in internet radio land? It's your man, DJ Big Stu. You know how I do late night. You know, I say I always keep the funky going, the funky conversation, keep it stirring up on the net. Got my, you know, partner in crime, the Capper in the building with me. Capper, what's good, homie?
Yo, what's going on, man?
You know, we just, as we know what we're talking about today, man. Today we're talking about the work for money. Worth it, you know, basically saying is, you know, what people do for money and is it worth it and all the things that's going on for money, is it worth it? You know what I'm saying?
For the love of money.
You have to deal. Well, you know, I know the first thing when people think about people do crazy stuff for money, they think about women, right? Women is the, you know, that should we deal with the women first or should we save that subject? Because there's a bunch of people that, you know, we could talk about money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So, like you know, what we say about girls stripping. Do we feel that strippers, you know, is it worth what they do for the money, Cap?
I guess it depends on the stripper and how the stripper feels about what she's doing for that money. You know what I mean? Like, some women can do it and not show how they feel about, you know, the results of what they're doing it for. You know what I mean? Like about a dude feeling on and sliding a little dollar bill down a crack of her booty. You know, which by the way, man, people, when your hands are full and you need to, you know, have a free hand when you got your money, don't put the money in your mouth. Because that might have been in the stripper's ass the night before.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
You gotta be real careful about that, man. Don't let your kid put the money in their mouth because.
Wow, that's deep. That's true.
Not only could have it. Matter of fact, before it went down the crack of the stripper's behind, mm-hmm. it might have been lined up with coke, and snorted out before it was thrown in her G-string.
Hmm. Or she might have just finished doing something before, you know, rubbed it on, used the money in a sexual. You know, in one of her jobs, you know, with a job.
Exactly. Now, that gotta hurt, though. Little crinkly, sharp edge, that gotta... We got Mimi now. What do you think of that?
Hey, everybody.
What's up, Mimi?
How you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. And, you know, just listening to you guys talk about this money thing, you know, sometimes... people do things for money, but, you know, sometimes they don't know any other way to get money, so hence being a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think they know other ways, but that's just a quick way.
Do you guys believe the old cliche that, oh, I'm trying to feed my, you know, work my way through school? Because there's a lot of strippers out there, and every stripper is not trying to work their way through school for that money.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, yeah, it just sounds good for if they think someone will look at them shamefully.
I think they're trying to meet the next big baller so they can get taken away from all
of
that.
Some of them do because some of them actually go to school. Because I think it's like there's no retirement plan for a stripper. You know, we've seen Players Club where homegirl came up on the stage to dance and then everybody left because she was old. That's real.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. is real.
You know,
well, what about Nene from the, you know, Atlanta Housewives? She was a stripper, supposed to be. A few strippers are on TV now. So is it worth it?
No, I don't think it's worth it. However, you know, Nene happened to meet someone and...
she probably met him at the club.
Yeah, you never know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not all girls are that lucky. Even if she did meet him at the club, not all girls are that lucky. So I think you need to think about what you're doing before you do it.
Mm.
And then there are some girls, like, there was a young lady on Lala's Full Court Life, and she was a stripper. And she supposedly retired, and now she's doing some type of videos, like fitness videos, but using the mm-hmm. stripping to do the fitness.
Uh-huh.
So I guess she's going to be making money off of that, yeah.
Which I think is, yo, pole dancing is, I know it's not respected, but there's an art. Like, I've seen some of the contests. I don't know if you've ever seen the contests.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, national contests. It really has nothing to do with them being naked.
Mm-hmm.
But the athleticism and the acrobatics, the balance that it takes, you know, they work a lot of muscles.
Well, they actually use that aerobicized now in some aerobicized classes. They got the pole. Well, exercise classes. And plus, people are trying to get a scripting pole in their house more frequently than ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all right. So, but, you know, let's talk about the average stripper. So we're not talking about the big bucks, the ones that make it to TV, the one that be lucky and meet somebody like NeNe did. Let's talk about the ones that you see in the local neighborhood, low down spots.
Or the
black doors,
the bullet wounds and stab scars.
Yeah, you know the ones that might have a rip in their panty, the G string might be tied up.
The ones where they gotta work, they gotta do like four times the work just to get a dollar, and they might not get that.
Yep.
I feel bad for them.
Yeah,
I do. Cause,
I do too.
You know, these dudes are just trying to make them. They gotta do like head spins and all kind of stuff. And then
not to mention they pay
money
to work. They gotta pay like $30 or $40 to go to work.
Yeah,
wow.
They gotta put up that rent.
I never knew that.
It's like hairdressing. They gotta pay their little rent. That's their little booth.
Well, I know, like, those girls that work in those spots, I know, you know, their situations look bleak, and maybe they don't know any other way to make money, so they say, okay, well, I heard that, you know, strippers make a lot of money, so let me just be a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that get degraded the most, and, you know, they end up doing other things for, you know, to make as much money as they can.
Yeah. And, you know, those girls are more, you know, they might be more prostitution in those type of places going on.
Right.
Than other places, you know. Like other places, you go to elegant places, they don't let you touch the strippers, you know. They might give you a lap dance, but you can't use your hand. And these spots, you know, it'll be a dark corner, and you'll just start hearing some moaning over there, like, and they'll be like, who over there in the dark in the corner? Well, close. And there's something going on over there, you know?
Yeah, anything goes.
A friend of mine had a bachelor party, and it was and it threw me off because, first of all, it was a garage. I'm looking all over, like, yeah, it's a nice strip joint. Yo, it's over there. It's popping. So I'm looking, and a guy comes out and pulls up the garage gate. So now we walk a couple of feet into there, and you don't see nothing till you get in a couple of feet. I mean, they had it hooked up, and then out of nowhere, just a bunch of naked women. But the only thing I didn't feel was on the garage floor. You know? And but they was basically naked. It was hundreds of guys in there. It was about 70 naked women to maybe 300 guys pointed up. They had a bootleg bar. And guys was really disrespecting the women for the money. Like, dudes was putting $10 in the girl's chest, but might have smacked her on the butt real hard, you know? It was a funny situation there, too, I got to tell you guys. It was funny. There happened to be this guy there that I don't know why he had on, like, some spandex running pants. And then he had the nerve to have long hair, Cap.
Yeah.
One of the homeboys went up to him. I was like, yo, shorty, what's good? And so he turned around like, yo, man, I'm a guy.
Wow.
But he asked him, you know, some spandex, like running pants, like, you know, I don't know. He must have thought that look was cool, you know? And it was so funny because from the back, he had his hair done like a woman. And he turned out to be a guy.
Yeah,
shout out to my man Lalo, man. If you're listening, man.
Well, you know, that's a dangerous situation to be in because, you know, a few weeks ago, I did a show about attire and women's attire and is it deserving of harassment. But if you're in that situation where you have 300 guys to like 70 girls, like,
mm-hmm.
I think that's dangerous. Do you think that, you know, something could happen in that situation to a woman?
you know, most of the times, you know, some, you know, they get disrespected. That's, you know, you're right. You know, they do get disrespected. They don't get really hurt because, you know, spots have security. You know what I mean? They do have, you know, because somebody there is making money. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, and if something happens to the girls, you know, they got to protect the girls. Now,
right.
Will she get a little disrespected before security get to her? Yeah, that could happen. You know what I mean? She still could get something said to her, done to her, before security grab the guy and throw him out and toss him out, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other things then.
All right.
This is what people do.
Let's, all right, one more. Let's go to drug dealers.
Uh-huh.
In this day and age, I don't think it's worth selling drugs now. I understand, but I don't, you know.
I
did my research, you know, and I know about the past drug days, and I did my research and the kids out there selling drugs now, and yeah, man, what they doing now, they basically working for free, man.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's I guess just the way the economy runs, that's gonna dictate how many people buy drugs, and it's gonna dictate how much people have available to spend on those kind of things, you know, and I think you're right. When you compare it to what it was in the 80s, when you saw people making money hand over fist, like where even the nickel and dime, even the guy that was buying from a buyer and then cutting it and selling it, and he was still doing okay. Like, you don't get that.
Yeah, but you have some kids today, they're not really savvy. Like,
mm-hmm.
The guys back in the day, they were really business savvy, if you think
mm-hmm.
about it.
Yeah.
You know, they were on the streets, they were making their money, they were recruiting people, doing different things. The kids now, you know, what I'm saying is, they had a little, you know, the kids have a little glory in it these days. They want people to think that they're the big man on campus, but really, it's when you're out there, it's about making money, or you need to go home. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just don't think kids are as savvy today as they used to be. And there are different drugs that they're selling now. Now it's all about pills.
Yeah, I think we got Will Porter in the building.
Hey, Will.
What's
good,
man? What's the deal, y'all?
What's going on?
What's up? Well, Cat, what's good, man?
What's good, man?
Hey, you got Lex in the building, too?
Nah, I try to get in touch with him, you know.
All right. But anyway.
Let's let me finish a thought, and then
okay.
we go to Will.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, people are selling drugs now.
Mm-hmm.
Pills.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's all about pills now, and I don't know if some of the kids caught on to that, if they're still doing the crack thing. I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, maybe that's why they're working for free.
They're doing the gang thing mainly when they're selling drugs now, and that's the thing that's not working with the you know gangs. You know, back in the 80s, you know, cliques was cliques. You know, the crew was the crew that the person sold drugs with. You know, that was your crew, that was your gang. You know, but now they're gangs, and that doesn't fit into the drug world, because a lot of times when you're dealing drugs, you're trying to keep shade on yourself, and gang members don't keep shade on themselves that well. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't go together. And then now you got two crimes going against you now, too. So the police are actually harder on the kids now. That's why we worry about them getting killed even more, because now they figure in they're not just going after a drug dealer. They're going after a gangbanger who could possibly be dangerous and armed.
Right.
You know? So, that's the case they're trying to make. So it's a different story with that, and that's why there's no money being made, because they're not concentrating on money. They're concentrating on gang banging, but they're selling drugs as a gang, but they're still banging, and that attracts attention to you.
Right.
And most old-timers, drug dealers will tell you, man, you know, when you be younger, the old-timer drug dealers, I used to hear them say, man, you know, they'll let you make all the money you want to make until you bring them bodies into the picture. And every time you see a crew go down, the main thing that they go down off of is the body.
Right. Got to be more low-key.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad that they can't do it right. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, that's the truth. And that's the good, the crazy part about it, you know.
True.
But it's hurting us both ways because they're killing themselves with the gangbanger now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We had wars in the '80s. Don't get it wrong. But it stopped down. Stopped the violence. Helped it stop down a lot. And actually, a lot of drug kingpins became CEOs, man, from the '80s, man, in the hip hop business and all type of, in the clothing line business. And so it transformed into teaching brothers how to make money. No, now I don't know so much if it's that.
Yeah, well, I think you know what it is too, though. It's a little harder to maneuver for them now. I think it was easier back then. You know, you had less big brother going on. Like now, you know, every inch of the planet is covered by a camera. So I think even if they're not moving on them, just the threat that the possibilities out there, I think, discourages people to begin with. So, you know, again, hey, I think that has a lot to do with it. It's like, personally, I'm not trying to get caught.
And it's different now. You know, it's a different time, it's a different climate. But I don't really, you know, it never was worth it. Don't get me wrong. It's never worth it to sell drugs. I want to make that clear. But, you know, we're talking about things that people do for money. And when you look at it versus what the kids of the teenagers of 1980 to from 1977 to about 1992-93, if you look at the versus what them kids that those teenagers made on the streets to what the kids made from maybe 96, 97 on to now, the drug game had changed. And it's not, the money is not the same for the kids. It's definitely not worth risking your life. It was never worth risking your life. So it's even less worth risking your life, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know why I think it makes less money, too? Because the drugs aren't funding any wars right now.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about the 80s, you know, and what's so crazy is they admitted to it, man. They admitted like the original. Well, the real, I should say, the real Rick Ross.
Rick Ross, Freeway Rick Ross.
You know, yeah, that was directly from the government. You know, and they just let enough time pass by so that when they tell the truth, we're not up in arms about it. It's like, oh, that was back then.
And the bug part about, you know, we know about Rick Ross, but now it's coming out. It was about seven other dudes that they gave that same deal to Rick Ross.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, they had to make that money quick. They had to flip it fast.
They gave seven other dudes that deal, seven other kingpins that deal in different areas in America, and, you know, basically made these dudes really, really big, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. Will Porter.
Will on there.
Will. We got a call on the line, I guess. I thought that was Will. Hello?
6980?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, oh, I know who that is. You know I know that voice.
My name is Takiya.
I'm trying to give you a proper intro, man.
Hi, Takiya. Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me tell y'all who this is. This is Takiya. I'm going to blow your spot up. I'm sorry. This is Takiya, a.k.a. Tata Blaze. Very, very talented young female writer, rapper. You know, she is one of the granddaughters of Marshall Thompson that we interviewed.
Okay. That's what's up.
You know, she's the one that he mentioned.
I remember seeing her video, I think, on BET. Is that the same Tata Blaze? That little video?
The What a Difference video?
Yeah.
Oh, the video, yeah, you saw it? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It was on, when they used to play the videos on the up-and-coming BET artists, right? Show.
Didn't see the What a Difference video?
Yeah, I think that's What a Difference. This was maybe
a little bit
back.
And now that I've given you a grand intro, you can chime in now. I mean, we were just kind of bouncing around on what people do for money. But what do you have to add here?
You know, like, I don't think that you can really knock anyone for what they're doing for money. I think as long as it's legal, like, there should be no problem. Like, even in terms of, like, strippers, sex has been, like, one of the oldest professions ever in world history. You know, that's always going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you never know what someone's situation is, like, why they're stripping. Maybe they're just stripping because they want to be strippers. I'd rather someone be a stripper rather than do, like, something else for money, like a credit card scam or something, taking someone's credit or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you really can't, as long as it's legal, you really can't, like, knock people, I don't know, for what they're doing. And it's true that there's no money. I mean, you can knock male strippers, because male strippers are just disgusting. Like,
don't come on here, male bashing.
Don't knock female strippers. Male strippers are disgusting. Like,
there's no female strippers that disgusting?
There should just be no such thing as, like, male strippers. Like,
for real?
That's a different subject, but it's just like their body odor and chemistry. It doesn't work with the whole stripping thing. They're funky. Anyway, that's a different show.
Yeah, they're good.
But I mean, you can't knock someone for what they're doing.
Well,
wow.
Here's my take on it. Like, I can kind of knock, and I think. Not knocking in the sense that I'm doing it, but the fact that if they look at themselves, maybe they may have to knock. And that's for the fact that how they feel about it afterward. Because sometimes I sit back and I think about it. What's the worth of money? That when you do all kind of things to get it, right? Now, I'm not talking about the person that needs it, the person that has to feed their family, the person that has to feed themselves. I mean the person that just greedily wants to have it, and at any cost they want to get it. That
mm-hmm.
at any given moment, because the dollar doesn't mean much anyway. It's not backed by gold anymore, and a lot of people think it still is, but it's not. So it's almost worthless. That at any given day, money could mean nothing. And then where's the person's integrity? Because mm-hmm. what they've sacrificed themselves for over all these years is absolutely null and void and worthless. How are they going to feel? And that's what I'm saying as far as when I would knock it is how does the person really feel inside? Now, if they truly don't have a problem with it, then, hey, that's on them. But some people do, and they go, well, I just do it for money. Like, what was it? Who was my boy Joe? I'll just tell this crazy story. My barber, Joe, he always said this stupidness. I won't say who he used as the example, but it was about for $5 million, it was a famous singer. Would you let this famous singer, put his dilly hoo in your exit? It was a male singer. And he was asking males if for like $5-6 million, would you let this male, you know, place himself inside you for a moment of time?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And there were people who were considering until we kind of looked at him like dude, even if, you know. So just imagine if that person does that, and yeah, they have that money, and now they're happy, but are they really happy?
Well,
I mean,
what's the limit that, I mean, let's just say, Cap, what's how far would you go for some money?
It's not far, man. I don't have a long streak when it comes to money, man. I have no real affection for it. Mm-hmm. I obtain it because I need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, I don't do it because, oh, I just gotta have as much money as I. If I can live comfortable, I'm okay with that. You know, if I can obtain more, I'm good with that too. But I'm not gonna put myself in a position I feel messed up about it.
I just have a question. So, realistically, let's say someone offered you a few million. Let's not go overboard. Like, you're not a Mega Millions winner, but it's like 3 million to do something you wouldn't normally do, whether it be some type of like homosexual activity, whatever it is, 3 million for that time frame. No one will know about it. It'll be forgotten about.
Forgotten about who? It wouldn't be known about it,
no one would know about it besides you and whoever else was there when you had to do it.
See, I got
like,
stipulations.
So you could honestly say, like, you would say no, like, you would be set, you could pay off all your bills.
Okay.
Like
some indecent proposal.
Okay, well, look here then, Mr. Kia. You give me a scenario. Like
mm-hmm.
what? And then,
all right.
I mean, my answer
okay,
is going to
so
be the same. Like, what? All
right, let's start off light. Let's say this guy, he's like, you know, I'm filthy rich and I have all this money, but, you know, I'm really attracted to you. He's a guy, right? You're a heterosexual male, right? And he goes, you know, if you kiss me, just kiss me for 15 seconds, open mouth, as the French do, you can have this 3 mil. I mean, if you're an actor, put it like, if you're an actor, you have actors kiss other actors, things like that. 3 mil, would you do this?
No, because now I'm a prostitute.
Oh my God!
That's prostitution. You're offering me money for a sexual act.
That's not really a sexual act, though.
Yes, it is.
To kiss someone,
you think he ain't thinking sexual? Why he want to kiss me on the mouth? Recreation? That's sexual.
Yeah.
So you would say no.
I would say hell no.
Come on. All right. So if you were an actor, would you kiss another actor if that's your profession?
A male actor? No, I get a double. you see Monster Ball, that was not who was that, Halle Berry?
Yes, it was.
Okay, well, there's somebody who had doubles in their movie.
I'm pretty
yeah,
sure they
I
had doubles
in double.
Brokeback Mountain.
You know?
So you wouldn't have done Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, hell
no. I wouldn't even want to be in a role. I'd turn that role
be
down.
On the set.
I wouldn't take that role. I wouldn't even take that Brokeback. Hey, dog, I love you. I love you too, man. Let's get married.
No, that's not how it went.
But my thing, I'll go try to get the money, but I'm not doing nothing to make me gay, and I'm not doing nothing that I'm going to regret. And I'm definitely not doing nothing illegal. So if it's just some hard work, to do it, you know, I'll do some hard. I would rather pick, if they tell me to make $3 million, pick 3 million apples in 3 days. I'll stay doing that. You know, I'll just
that thing. Me if they gave y'all $1 billion, none of y'all would play that role in Brokeback Mountain
for $1 billion.
Oh, yeah, K. Nicole?
Yeah, K. Nicole's in the building.
What up, Cap?
Hey, what's going on now? You said what?
You said for $1 billion, would nobody play the role in Brokeback Mountain?
No, you can't get me. Look,
but
the
it's
one
not
thing,
real.
The
a
one
role,
thing,
that's not even you. It's a role for $1 billion. You don't have to
right,
do nothing
not
else
real.
For the rest of your life.
To play a gay guy?
Mm-hmm. To play a role.
For
a
movies be taking like 2 years.
Yeah,
that's what I'm not understanding.
You got to be gay for like 2 years.
Like, cut. Do it again.
Listen, the movie is a camera. They make you look like you're doing things you're not doing.
But see, if you're not doing it, then that's something else. But let me tell you though, overall,
guy broke back while it was doing that guy. You know, it was a role. I don't know if he gay.
They were touching. That was not the role.
They had to kiss and all that. That's the role.
They was holding hands when they got their award.
I don't even want to hold no man's hands. Here's the one thing about when you got a heterosexual man.
No, but it
Any, especially a black male. There's twofold. A black heterosexual man, it's yo, even for someone to think that you're gay, makes mad. Like even if a person alludes to it joking, I get furious. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is no disrespect to homosexuals, but I'm proud to be hetero, so it's offensive to me because it's something that I'm not.
I'm gonna tell you the difference of men and women with that too, because women, like, say if y'all go someplace, y'all gotta get stranded, and y'all get in a hotel room, right? Y'all say y'all both asleep in the same bed, women.
Yeah.
God can't do it.
But y'all stay in that same hotel room.
Yeah, we'll stay in the room, but somebody's sleeping on the floor, somebody's sleeping in the tub.
Work it out.
You know, somebody's sleeping somewhere, because if somebody's leg hits somebody's leg, it's over.
Yeah, it's very.
You never live that down. Like, say there's three guys in there, and the other guy
that
waits.
That leg could save your life, right?
Let me tell you, there's three guys in the hotel room, and the two guys are sleeping in the bed. If the guy sleeping on the floor gets up and see two hands touching, 1 foot touching, it's over. The other two, they're going to be like, yo, y'all niggas was kissing last night. There's going to be all type of rumors going on. You can never snap on a brother. Because he gonna pull that night out of his pocket, right, Cap?
Yeah.
He'll be like, yo, man, like, y'all snapping? Y'all snapping? What about the time
right.
Y'all was laying up together?
Yeah,
that's
so,
what makes somebody mad.
So, yeah, for $1 billion, you cannot get me to do a homosexual act.
So you wouldn't even touch legs in the bed for $1 million?
That's uncomfortable, man. You that sticks in your mind for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Touch your toes,
I hear you.
You wouldn't play footsie for
$1 million? Play a role to pretend like
no.
No.
Okay. No footsie either for $1 million?
That's
nope.
A lot. Come on. You touch somebody's toe, you wouldn't do it for $1 million. That's crazy.
Sometimes when you got somebody in the post, if it ain't a rough enough post, that's uncomfortable.
But we got somebody. We got another caller too.
But what if those two guys are alone? And one of them is offering the other one money, and there's not a third one to witness it.
Wow. Well,
hey,
those two guys will have to work
about.
It out, because I would be the third guy that wouldn't be there.
you even introduce yourself.
Yeah.
This is Cuzzo Evie. That's who it is.
Okay.
Cuzzo.
Hey, Cuzzo.
Hi, Evie.
Hey.
Yeah, so this is what I'm
saying.
You know,
but the problem is so many things that people will do for nothing. So it's hard to say what's immoral these days and what
mm-hmm.
people's lines are to define it. What, you know, what is, because what one person won't do, another person will. Like you say,
true.
Little things like, so there's some people that'll say, hey, you know what, I wouldn't prostitute myself for nobody. I don't care who it is, what it is, whatever. And another person might say, hey, I'm doing it for free anyway. At least I can get something from this one instead of this broke nigga over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it depends on what you consider more on what who do, on what you don't. Some people, like, if you consider selling drugs okay and shooting people or whatever else and you find your own way of justifying it, you won't mind if somebody paying you to go ahead and kill somebody where that's just not. In your character, you may not ever consider it whatsoever, but there might be something else that you'll consider that somebody else might not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but as far as me, I will never be in a reprisal role.
Measures
of
a desperate act, too.
Now, all right, now, that's something Kay Nicole just said. She said desperate measures. What about desperate measures, Cap?
How desperate would it be?
All right, saying that somebody close to you may need a heart transplant that costs $1 million, and somebody offering you $2 million to do that.
I'll do like John Q, and I'll go in the hospital with a gun.
Now, we all know it don't even have to be that desperate.
Exactly.
You can sit up there and let's say you and your family, you and your kids is homeless. And here it is, somebody offering you something to get out of this situation, not to see your family suffer. There's a lot of things you might compromise on that you may have never considered before.
Yeah, but what's the something?
Yeah.
Right now you can't say you don't know.
Right, right, exactly. Where you may have not, let's say the perfect example, you may have not considered getting down with somebody of the same sex ever. You might say, you know what, ain't nobody ever going to know it. This is something that I'm going to have to.
Okay, let me say it's so easy. Yeah, like,
but I'm
like,
no,
we just reality is reality.
I'm not touching no man's tunnel hole.
I've never even considered the idea. People turn me off the idea of somebody even selling drugs to hurt the community and hurt their own people. You know, but yet and still, I can't say if I was really that desperate and down, and, you know, it's a decision on if I'm going to eat or starve and my family is going to have a roof over their head or not, that I might consider making a drop, doing something, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll make a drop before I drop it. Like it's hot.
It'll never be that easy. It's going to be a decision as to who I have to make.
So, okay, so you... All right.
Go ahead.
Now, so I'm just trying to put, because I feel that women, y'all make it sound so easy.
I think anybody, whatever, you got to that point, we don't know that point, we never been there, but if you ever got to that point where it was either it or nothing else, I think everybody would make the decision to do what they have to do, male or female.
But there are people in this existence who have said, well, okay, well, then I'd rather perish.
Nah, you won't. You will not watch yourself, your kids, and everybody perish just because you're making a selfish decision.
You know what I mean? That's selfish to violate myself. How kids gonna look at me? I'm walking.
That's gonna be. That's gonna happen one time in your life and never happen again.
Here's something. Some of you guys can relate to. Most of you love your mothers to the end, to death. And let's say, for example. You know, like I was saying, if your mother needed an operation, she, you know, needed to keep a roof over her head, whatever else, if she needed to go to a nursing home because she needed the care that you couldn't give her and there was no other resources available, you might compromise and make some things happen, especially if it's a life or death situation.
Well, I say this like a lot of people say. There are plenty of people who decide that they don't have a choice and they do something and then they end up in jail and the person goes, well, there's always a way around it. And that's what I stand by.
And you can go to jail for that.
No. I'm just saying for the example
it's true.
No, there's a way around. Like, I'll go to the guy's house and act like I'm going to go there and I might knock him over the head and take the money. And then he wake up and transplant is successful and then I'll just go to jail.
I mean, but you did what you had to do, but, you know, that would be a choice, too, if it's possible.
Right. And the majority of us, in 99% of the time, we're going to choose the right decision. We're just talking about those rare cases where, you know, what is your point in overturn? What is
exactly.
It? There's always something that's going to put you over the edge. Like, I know, for example, with God forbid it was one of my family members, kids, whatever else, they had some health issues or whatever else. I'm going to try and exhaust every resource possible, even down to if I got to beg in the street first, okay, if I had to. And I got a big pride issue. But let's say it came down to it and nothing else, you know, came to it, you know, like that movie John Q, you know. And you know it's all about the money.
So there may be
a point of no return.
So you saying if it got real desperate and Oprah Winfrey was like, look, me, you, and Gail for $5 million, and so you do it? let's flip it, because y'all asked in the mail that.
I would just be like, can I have a job? Can you employ me?
Can I have a job?
You might have to up the price.
Yeah, that is a job.
How about if I film y'all?
That would be a job.
Would you sleep with Precious for $1 million?
I can sit up here and say no now because I know my morals and the way I feel, but if I was in a desperate place, I can't say that I might make the same decision.
I just want to know, even Kappa, females, the ladies, or Kappa, would anybody sleep with Precious for $1 million?
Hell no.
Nah, that ain't enough.
Which Precious? The
movie Precious.
Or Precious in Precious
that Nikki
Eddie
threw down the steps.
No, which version? That Precious or the Precious in the Eddie Murphy?
Any version that suits you fit.
No, the Precious that's in that movie, huh?
Yeah, there's dudes that was
Tower Heist.
There's dudes that get at Precious for free and love it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I'm actually Kappa.
I see a lot of guys walking around.
He's actually looking nice in the awards.
I see a lot of guys walking around with a whole lot worse than that.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
Million, you'd be $1 million strong. She's a real woman. She's just
but
like
I noticed the
woman.
Ladies, y'all didn't go easy on that one.
$1 million for Precious.
She might
pay your bills, the same thing. Take care of your family.
Oh,
all God. The same things in the air.
But all right, well, at least we upped y'all and Auntie. Y'all giving us a little bit of money.
You gave us a man. It don't matter whether you're Precious or not. You gave us a man.
Yeah, that changes everything.
Everything.
Yeah, Precious.
Not really, because I wouldn't want to sleep with a woman. So, I mean, it's the same thing.
Woman.
Nah, but it's worse for us. That's why I would speak so hard against it. It's worse for a dude. You can't come back from that. Like a woman can act like it never happened. A man can act like that never happened. You can't. Women kiss each other on the cheek.
$1 billion now.
Okay, so men.
You don't even
so
never
got
to see nobody else again.
Got to meet all new people. That everybody going to, you know, the word going to get around.
Your friend
me.
Might not even know. Nobody might not even know.
The word going to get around, man. Trust me.
Not necessarily. If it's only you and that person there, it may never get out. So,
I don't know.
Especially if they on the down low. Especially if they're down low, if they want them down low dudes, the word may never get out because they don't want to blow up their own spot.
Right,
very uncomfortable every time I run into them in the street. I would tell you that.
So what? You got $1 billion in your pocket.
It wouldn't matter. When I see them in the street, I'll be running. I know I'll be running the other way every time. I don't think I can do it.
That's all right. You don't even got to
no shake their hand and nothing. Like, hey, yo, gone.
Yeah, but you'll be going the other way in your Range Rover.
Exactly.
Okay.
You don't even got to walk past them.
The only time that you can't do that is if you run with the same crew. Exactly. You gotta see that person's face
that's
the
time. Smells right there. You got a rich homeboy
that
office.
No recovery
back
from that.
Yeah.
No recovery.
Yeah, that's different.
Well, what about okay? Because now we've been on that one for a minute. And I'm a little uncomfortable with that topic.
Violet just talking about it, right?
Let's
talk about the like morals, like if the corporate world, people that you know, they do things, you know, unmoral, like you know how forcing people homes to be sold, you know what I'm saying, you know that like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, yeah, like when they do the like predatory lending, people get matter of fact, you forget that out of their country, getting screwed out of an entire country.
Yeah.
You know, which is crazy. Like, you know, there are wars built on gaining money that impoverish like a whole people.
Or what about somebody like Joe Oliver, even worse, getting paid to do things against, you know, like Trayvon or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know Joe Oliver was saying.
Yeah.
How would you feel about, you know, what do you feel about people that's willing to do that for money?
Yeah, look at Bush.
But you know what I think, Joe Oliver case, I think he might have not really knew the situation. Because a lot of stuff started coming out.
But come to find out, nobody never met him, you know?
And they saying the lawyers never even met the person that they defended.
And Joe Oliver never met him, too. That came out, too. He's another person. So
probably for a minute, he probably thought it could have happened. It's possible. But after everything started coming out, this is like, it's just crazy.
These guys are doing it for the money because they want the law. Joe Oliver turns out to be another lawyer. He turned out to be part of the lawyer's team.
Oh, he just didn't
want to talk. These guys are, you know, basically... they want to get paid. You know what I'm saying? It's a high-profile case.
It is.
It's never something to do for the money. They probably know he did it in their heart.
Yeah,
but, you know, whoever be his lawyer is going to be paid.
Yeah.
at the end of the day.
Well, you gotta think that some of these people might have did it for free just because they have that much hatred in their heart. There's still so much racism there that you'd be surprised on how many of them would have taken the case for free just because.
You could already see how it's going.
That's true. But hey, speaking of corporate greed and corporate America, I think this is a perfect time to segue into a song, you know, under this theme of money. This is by actually a Harlem Knight, Immortal Technique.
Mm-hmm.
This song is called Rich Man's World. It's about basically about the 1%. So let's play this and then we'll come back.
Let's do it.
You get up and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business. And I have chosen you to preach this evangel.
For all my free market healthcare, robbing, stock stealing, retirement fund, fucking with niggas. Fuck you little credit card scamming, jewelry stealing, crack selling, liquor store robbing motherfucker. Shout to the homies, Carnegie, OG, Willie Randolph, Hearst, Baruch, Rockefeller, the real Rockefeller, my main bitch, Leona, brought a little Louis XIII, Scott Rothstein, Jack Abramoff, hold your head, my real South niggas, let's get this money. I spent my day peppering America overseas, pension for the workers, nigga please, embezzlement, etiquette, private settlement, I'm better with Confederate rhetoric from my mansion in Connecticut, foreclosure that comes out the tenement, I twist words like a speech impediment, I hope you got good credit, bitch, if not, better get a new job with benefits, while I play golf with niggas to get cheddar with, new money buys brand new carrots, my old money bought your great grandparents, you got grills in your mouth, I ain't mad at you. I own every gold mine in South Africa, thanks baby, you made me a billion, plus I own a building, but each one of my children's children, that's the shit, snort coke in the whip, Miss USA sucking my dick, yeah what, fuck the law, cause real jailers for suckers, I go to country club prison, you dumb motherfuckers, I am the 1%, fucking bitches, yeah, you know my CEO, corporate Steve, please, overthrow governments overseas in a breeze, politicians in my pockets for a few hundred G's, so if I'm ever in court, my assets are never free. I got a job and a house and a bank account. When I'm out, I doubt that's something you could say. And if not, then a fake death like Kenneth Lay. Make money every day the world burns on its axis. Why y'all struggling to pay taxes? I'm getting my money the fastest. Memos and faxes, shredded up documents. Slush funds through the corrupt continents. But they don't want me indicted, cause they don't want my dirty laundry aired when I fight it. So get my lawyers excited, cause what good is the law if you can't rewrite it? I got CIA traitors, dictators. So fuck y'all whistleblowers and haters. Invest money from Al-Qaeda in the bank, 9-11 widows go too late. Capitalism's who I pray to. Fuck the state of the world. Money talks, so what the fuck I need to say to your girl? I don't pay them to fuck, I pay them to leave. You know my CEO corporate Steve Greed. I treat countries like the IMF, down on your knees. Real gangsters run the world, fuck what you believe. I cut down the forest while y'all niggas burning some trees. I'll get your family murdered for a couple of G's. Cause your working class money ain't fucking with me. You think rappers are rich cause of songs you heard? My labels make the money and have it rap the fucking word. Y'all in the ocean coasting with the sails out. Hey America, thanks for the bailouts. I made off at the Banco Ambrosiano. Got away scot-free like El Vaticano. Activists, activists get mad at me cause I'm a tax-free charity. 80% to the staff and company and 20% to the homeless and hungry. The country gotta pay the Fed Reserve. Kick back to the banksters, haven't you learned? You protest cops and patrols on the street, but I bought city hall so I own the police. Email, Facebook, and the shit you tweet. All the phone companies, so I heard you speaking. My suggestion is no correction, no election, sex with no affection, no invention to benefit the world or man. Will exist till I got the money in my hand. World Bank, interest rate, damn rape on the spot. But I'm a gangster, you gon' take my money, like it or not, nigga. I got your country in my pocket, motherfucker. You know my CEO makes Sonic Steve cheese. Only little people pay all the
deep, man. More technique. So, yeah, man, talking about this Beef Stew Radio, you know what I'm saying? We got Mimi in the house. We got, we got K Nicole with me and Kappa in the house. We're talking about...
on the line.
Yeah, because O'Evie's still on the line. We're talking about money, the money worth, worth it. What would people do, what they do for money, the limits. Now we're going to get into a little bit more corporate, man. I mean, we're getting into the corporate thing.
Well, before you go there, Sue, you can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/BeastStewRadio, and let's talk about it. Throw some questions up or call in 914-338-1685, and let's chop it up. I mean, we're talking about everything dealing with money, the good, the bad, the evil, the symbolism on the dollars. I got some experts I know y'all out there that can tell us about the symbolism on the dollar. I reserve my thoughts on that until they call. I got some people that may call in. But anyway, just had to throw that in, Stu.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the corporate morals, man. I don't like those people, man, that they sell out on a job to try to get to the top, man. They sell out for money.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that all the time. Mm-hmm. They get attitudes with people for no reason, like just to get in good with the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many things going on. They'll stab you in the back just mm-hmm. to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the black people, they don't stick together on a job. If they feel like it's going to get them ahead to play the game, they'll do that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much going on in corporate America.
You mean mm-hmm. the brown nosers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes beyond brown nosing at that
point. Yeah, brown facing.
And a lot of brown noses are the ones that you train to do the job. You see that?
And try to overstep you.
And then they'll overstep you or behind your back. You befriend them. And they find out things about you that normally somebody in the job might not know about you. That's what a good brown noser will do. They'll find out your personal and take it back to the job.
Right.
Your city agency, there's tons of brown nosing going on.
Because
there's a lot of people that can't pass civil service tests. So what happens is when they get the provisional positions, they basically brown nose for that,
Absolutely. There's a lot going on in corporate America. I work in corporate America, but I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know the truth, I would like to get out, but of course, I have to do what I have to do for my
mm-hmm.
paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So
I feel the same working in corporate America, and the bad part about it is, especially us as African Americans, we have to work three times as hard as our counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get half the recognition.
Absolutely.
And that's where, we brown nose all we want, but at the
mm-hmm.
same time, you can brown nose let somebody of another come in and they
want a
brown nose,
Let me ask y'all, now, in corporate America, is it a lot of sex being sold for positions to make more money?
Funny that he mentions that, because I remember working at a job where it was like a credit card company, but a subsidiary of a bank, and there was a guy, I think he was sleeping his way up the ladder.
Mm.
Everybody thought he was handsome and everything, and he was sleeping his way up the ladder.
It usually is the case. They get close to him, they're sleeping with him on down low. They always think that no one else knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
When it's so obvious to see, but they don't care. But yet and still they will get what they want.
Right.
For the rest of us that are not going to compromise ourselves to that extent for any job,
mm-hmm.
We don't ever reap the benefits.
Right. And then there's some of us that will, like even just looking at Hollywood, you see a lot of ladies that are doing things,
mm-hmm.
just to be the it girl. Mm-hmm. Like you look at Kim Kardashian, she made the sex tape, or she put it out there,
mm-hmm.
and look how it blew up her career.
Yeah. Paris Hilton, too.
Yeah, her, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Sex sells.
But so, I don't know. Paris Hilton is a little bit different. I just think she just did it just to be doing it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
too.
She already got the money.
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay.
She does.
But corporate, we're going back to corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see so much of it where people, I've been in jobs where people will just go ahead and sell their souls to keep, just to keep getting ahead. And those of us who call ourselves being honest every day, and we can be doing above and beyond our job, and yet and still we're the ones who get screwed in the end just because of those who are kissing up and lying and, you know, telling people a bunch of stories that they want to hear, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, when I worked in an investment bank,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of that going on the trading floor. And and this particular company, the trading floor was huge. I'm talking like about 250 traders all in this big pit. And they were, it seemed like the majority of them were cutting each other's throats. And sometimes they would cut throats in groups, because they were kind of, each section would kind of group off.
Mm-hmm.
And they would cut each other's throats, and then of course on the sexual side, a lot of that was going on too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was, I mean, and then you think about those guys, you're talking about when people lose their money. How many times did you hear about these people that work at stock exchange, that when they lose everything, they take their own lives?
Yeah.
Because they can't handle pressure.
Yeah, they're on Wall Street jumping off the roof. One guy, I don't know how he did this, but he lost everything. He somehow made it to the roof of the building on Wall Street. This is in New York City for everyone who's not in New York City. On Wall Street, there's a church with a graveyard. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. Right by the, where the four train is, right on Wall Street.
Yeah, I don't know the name, but I know what you're talking about.
He jumped off the building across the street. Now, I don't know how it happened, but he sailed across the street into the graveyard and decapitated himself on one of the headstones.
Wow.
Because he lost everything. And I don't know how a person can do that, because you can recover.
You can recover, make
money, you can lose it and make it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's usually the difference between the have and the have not.
Exactly.
So, us have nots, we've learned to struggle and through adversity our whole lives, and even down to the simple things like being able to find a meal out of the scraps
mm-hmm.
that are thrown at us
mm-hmm.
and make it work for us. You know, we know how to feed a family, a very large family, off of a bag of rice. You know, and some scraps. They don't know how to do that, so it's the end of the world to them. So
yeah,
it's
how to survive when you don't have. You know,
it's even just on the way they feel other people is perceiving them, like. What perception they have. They will kill themselves off of just perception. Oh, I don't want him to think I don't
Absolutely.
Have it. I'd rather be dead. You know, that's crazy.
Than to have people think. Right.
Than to have people think. Exactly.
Right.
And it's funny, because if they would think logically, everybody does see it now, because now that you're gone, the word comes out.
Even worse. You killed yourself. Exactly.
Yeah, so they just don't want to be... They don't want to witness people knowing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess not.
You know, where we could care less. Hey, you know what? I'll be happy being able to say I had.
Yeah.
We could care less, and we're going to try another day to get back where we were.
Exactly.
We're not going to worry about what we don't have. We don't have them. So I'm going to keep pushing on.
Let me ask you this: with the way the economy in the world is going, do you think things may end up in another 30 years or something going back to more of a barter system as opposed to a currency?
You know what? I can I see the world self-destructing before they allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's so many greedy people out there who worship, worship money, okay, that they would go ahead and start a war and kill the whole, and set off bombs to destroy it before that. No, they can't see. I can't see it going back to a barter system unless it was just the people who survived, you know, whatever major disasters that man caused.
So, and this universal world currency that they're trying to put together, do you think that would ever happen?
I personally think if we give them a chance, it will.
Well, I think if we did give them a chance, but I think the United States is too greedy.
Yeah.
We are much too power hungry to give in because that means somebody else has the power.
That's true.
And they have to be more of equals, and we're more of the, and the haves who are in control are more of the elitists, where they believe that no, I can't be compared to, and I can't be equal. I must be above.
Which is almost ironic because America owes the most money to everybody.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but they're the thugs, isn't
it? But that what is it? That 5% or whatever it is of the world who really have the most, the bulk of the money, they could care less about that, about what the world is in, the condition that our United States is in. All they care about is what they have and what I can say that I am.
You know what? America is that Debo that acts like he's going to give you your money back. You're not getting that money back. He's going to owe you forever, and he's going to take more from you, and you're going to be scared to say no. You're going to give it to him with a smile.
The tax rate going to be at 50% soon.
Yeah.
I need help. Uncle Sam going to ask for his half to keep the rich rich.
That's true. Do you feel that it's worth what they're doing to save money, all the things they're doing to women? Do you think that's worth the money?
Oh, absolutely not. But I blame that on us as a society for not speaking up and not doing what we should be doing to address some of the issues. Because we could have put a stop to a lot of the things that we've let get out of control. We could have held on to our self-respect and our you know, respect altogether. We didn't have to let that go. We let it go because it's always not our problem. It's always someone else's problem and not ours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when are we going to stand up and actually take the reins and say, "Hell, hold up. No. Not you. You're going to do that. This has to stop. Yes, we're going to stop this. We stop things that we don't want, that we really don't mean much of anything. I mean, PETA has a big voice, you know, all these other organizations that could care about nothing. Oh, we're going to save the whales, but we won't save ourselves. We won't save our women. We won't save our children."
Exactly.
We're talking money, the good, the bad, the ugly. This is B-Stew Radio, blogtalkradio.com/B-Stew Radio. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/B-Stew Radio. You can call in now and chime in on the subject. Maybe you're a stripper that gets dollar swiped down your behind. Call 914-338-1685. That's 914-338-1685. So, I'm sorry, guys.
Let me say this. I think that we would all be in a much better position, okay, to hold our own, to not worry about so much of what's going to happen to America if we started taking the world into our own hands. I mean, doing little things, learning how to survive, and if there was ever any kind of natural disasters or man-made disasters, knowing how to do gardening, build things, just do the little things. If we ever had to start from scratch, or even if we had to go ahead and take over some land and have our own little colony, we need to learn to be able to do for self. If we were able, a lot more self-sufficient and not dependent on the government, not dependent on buying stuff from stores and everything else, we could build our own little community and actually make a big impact on society.
Yeah, you're right.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely right. But you know, at this point, once that became popular, the bully will come in and disrupt. But it's a good point, and it should be done. But
yeah,
it will be an uphill battle.
It'll be work to fight.
Yeah, you know? No, you're right.
At least it'll be teaching our next generation and the generations after, hopefully, some skills that they wouldn't have a clue of. I don't think these kids would know how to survive if they didn't have a cell phone. You know, what
mm-hmm.
do I do without one? The world is over. I couldn't call. If there's an emergency, anything, what do I do? Man, we didn't have cell phones.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
right.
We need to teach them things, too. We need to learn to speak, too. It's a shame that we move from just a generation.
I was losing you a little bit.
They knew
yeah.
how to make clothes. They knew how to do things. We don't know how to do anything. We're a society. If we break a button, what do? Send it to the cleaners and throw it away.
Yeah. That's a good point. You're definitely right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's I think that's what one of your future shows should be about. How we can start our own little community organizations to start some classes to help us all be a little more self sufficient. We can start small. You know, it don't have to be everything in one time. But
mm-hmm.
starting small, you know, from teaching the basics of how to sow, how to garden, you know, how
yeah.
to build you know, basic Boy Scout skills, whatever.
I think our teachers are in South Carolina because my great aunt, everything we ate came from mm-hmm. From the field behind
mm-hmm.
the house. Everything,
yep.
the pigs, the chickens, all the vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
There was
mm-hmm.
there was a row of corn, like several
yeah.
rows of corn. There was tomatoes. Everything
mm-hmm.
we our whole dinner. I would watch them go back there and collect what we were going to eat. Now, unfortunately, you know, when she passed, well, she had mostly boys, and they kind of didn't,
mm-hmm.
not even kind of, they didn't carry it on. Because I went to visit,
mm-hmm.
and that garden is very,
it's
very sparse. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
much happening there,
it.
You know.
Believe it. But you know, we have a tool. I mean, I guess our upgrade to society is both a curse and a blessing because the internet can bring us so much information. All you got to do is YouTube anything you want to do, and there's always a lesson, a course, or whatever on it. You know, the
yeah.
instruction, whatever else. I mean, YouTube it. We got to learn it from YouTube and everyone else. You know, the point is getting people together at one time in one community to say, hey, you know what, I'm doing a class on it. I'm sharing this at the community garden going. You know, even if you want to tell people, you know what, let's just start this garden and sell the stuff and the proceeds go to help this benefit, whatever, I don't care, as long as they're learning the skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Now, on that note, I got another song. This is actually this song is in demo stage. There's a studio version, but this project probably won't come out. His brother's talented, but you know he's doing other things right now. But this is from Capital. Sounds like he's talking about a woman, but he's talking about money. It's pretty deep. Check it out.
Things are real strange right now, baby. Things are real messed up ever since you left me and all that. Find it kind of hard to survive without you. I really need you. I miss you. And baby, I promise I will never make the same mistakes again. Just take me back. I promise I'll never let you go. You're my number one bitch, but you play hard to get. Got me on a strip, white rocks in my grip. You're something like a pimp and I'm something like a hoe. You the one made me run up in that stove. Rusty fofo, demanding for dough. I'm out to get rich, but without you I'm sick. I'm missing you, baby, that sack was so thick. When I grab you again, I won't let you up my bitch. You're my number one bitch, and when I'm with you, kids get jealous on me. That's why them punk niggas try to take you from me. They can't eat, no. Please, 'cause they ate the 40, I don't play that. Me and
and my dick, we go way back. When she was little, I stuck with her, cause I knew she made me a tough nigga. As time passed, she got much thicker, face bigger, mistreated her when I was with her. Now that she's gone, I can't lie, son, I miss her. Can't stand the fact that another nigga with her make me wanna load up the heat and go and get her. But I'm much bigger, hard worker, have me touching that figure. I'ma treat you much better, cause I got the big picture. Invest in you, and I'll get much richer. This is not lust, nigga, this is love in the worst way. They say you evil, I believe them, but I'd rather live with you than without you. Can't live without you, gotta be with you. Chasing you around, I got issues. Of course, when I'm with you, hand up on a pistol, stand up on a prison. Waiting for my baby in the middle of a prison. You know I was a mess when you left out of town. I used to use crack to try to keep you around. I was so foul.
Yeah, that was Capital. He dropped that about 2 years ago. It was in demo stage. He was working on an album, but that whole thing, that project got put on hold because he's moved on to some things that's going to help his community out. So he put the rap career on hold, you know?
Yeah.
But that was deep. He was envisioning the dollar as a female, which a lot of people do. They love money so much, they almost look at it as if it's a being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, he said. They say you evil. I believe them, but I can't live. But I'd rather be with you. Can't live without you. That dude, this song is deep.
Well, our next one, being that we're talking about money, is religion, preachers that's robbing the community for money. There's a lot of preachers that get paid a lot of money. What y'all feel about them?
I'm going to get my Rolls Royce. The Lord wants me to have this Rolls Royce.
You know what's so crazy? The other day, I was literally listening to one of the... You know how you wind up leaving the TV on and you listening and the guys on there talking about people worried about why I got an airplane. I'm like, an airplane? He's like, why I got an airplane? He said... Because the Lord gave me an airplane so I could go help other people in other places, in other countries. Yo, I was just I was amazed. Like, he has an airplane. It's one of the black guys, too, and he has a big church, so he has the money.
Probably Cleflo Dollar.
It might have been.
I need to fly up closer to communicate with the Lord.
I mean, how come? Do you feel that?
How come they need him to go all around the world? They don't have nobody else to
pray. They sell you stuff that'd be $100. Do y'all honestly feel that that's worth the money?
What?
They sell you like a handkerchief?
$100. When we want to talk about greed, we didn't even touch on the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that's a whole nother story.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's
a whole nother topic in itself. You need a whole nother show for that.
I talked to this one kid,
all
and he
churches,
said
right?
He had to give 10% of his paycheck every pay period to the church.
Yeah, that's it. Any Christian, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, that's what the man-written Bible tells you.
Exactly.
I don't think that's necessarily, I'm not sure that I agree with that being God's word, especially when it was handed down over and over again, and then it translated into what they wanted to translate it into. As greedy as man is, but more than that, you got those churches with 10% ain't never enough. On top of that, you must give a love offering of $100. You must give give to the building fund on top of that. Hello,
mm-hmm.
Who's going to give to my building fund to pay my rent?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then on top of that, the whole day you in church, you done gave up about $10. They had 10 offerings going around.
Well, they even think to their advantage in the Bible because, you know, people used to do sacrifices, like, you know, sacrifice a lamb or whatever, you know, to show worship, and nobody does that anymore, so why would we still need to give 10% of a paycheck?
Yeah.
You know, that just doesn't make sense to me.
And, you know, you see, look how the pastors are living. I mean, these pastors are living, I mean, exquisitely.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think that's the part of the plan either.
No,
I used to go to this church, and they used to make you stay in there from like 8 o'clock to like 1 o'clock in the morning, right? And 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock in the morning to like 1 o'clock the next morning, and it used to be crazy because you used to give so much donations in there, and I used to get mad because all they used to give out was hot dogs at dinner time. You know what I'm saying? I felt like they used to make mad money. They could have gave out some. They just gave you like 2 hot dogs to everybody in the church. And I was like, wow, you know, you got people giving $100 this. You could at least gave us a TV dinner. Got us here all day.
You know what's crazy, too, though? Because when you have some of those preachers who will see a person give their last, and they will take it and watch this person walk home with shoes with holes in them as he drives past them in a Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. That is sin if I've ever heard of sin.
Yeah.
You know, he knows that money is not going on in places that he's saying. Maybe some of it, but he's keeping the majority. He's got no taxes, so he gets a very nice return, and he keeps his portion.
Mm-hmm.
Church is big business.
Very big business. I don't mean to say nothing, but T.D. Jakes is making movies now.
Well, you know, he's a big fan. You know, that goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has to get his, but don't get me wrong. I believe there still are some pastors out there who truly believe in sharing a word and doing good and, you know, et cetera. But there are some that would be like, hey, well, bless those who gave and those who wanted to give, and they're always looking for the next way they can help someone. When you see those community churches that are given every time there's an event, whether it be school supplies, Easter clothes, whatever it is that they can do, feeding the community, things like that, you know, there's money needed. These things don't grow on trees. You might need some money, but don't make it seem like, you know, you got to have the extra theatrical effort to do it. Yeah, you know, swindle people out of a, you know, yeah, an extra $100 love gift. Keep it real with them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? You know, this is what we're doing. We're feeding this person. We're trying to money to make sure all of these kids have books and clothes, whatever else. Hey, whatever you can give is going to definitely be appreciated and needed. You know, let's all do our part. And people don't mind because you're keeping it real, you know?
Yeah. And what about the commercial? There's a preacher, like, he's selling, what is it, like some oil or some water or a rag that's supposed to make you more money if you buy it.
Dude, they sell them. There's some that sell them.
It's like blessing water. You buy this water and then you'll be rich.
What about that
and
one that be screaming?
I bought the water and I sprinkled it on myself, and then the next day I had $20,000.
Yep.
And then next week I had another $10,000. So where the money came from?
You mean it ain't make you walk across water?
Well, you know, I actually applaud T.D. Jakes. You know, he's actually making his own money doing the films. But, I mean, I'm sure he's still making money through the church. But,
of course he is, and that's where he started it off at.
Exactly. But, I can respect somebody who makes money on their own accord instead of preying on people who don't have. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I've seen his services, and he does. He always asks for money in his church, and I don't have a doubt that a lot of that money, before he even started, how he got that money in the first place, was from the church.
Right.
You know, because he had to sell himself as an infomercial. He had to get on every church and be televised everywhere and make sure everybody bought every single CD and tape, and he guilt you. He had a good way of guilting you into it now. You need this. You know, and all these women thou art loose now. This one is for the men. This one, and he thought of reasons, ways to get around it, always.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear that, kiddies? The moral of the story is, kiddies, don't be a thug. Don't be a drug dealer.
You're
be a preacher.
A corrupt preacher, because y'all all going to hell anyway.
Well, we can't get on the preachers without getting on the politicians.
But, you know, the funny thing is, I have friends that will say, oh, yeah, I'm going to church so I can make political connections I can get a certain job and, you know, make more money.
Oh, yeah.
I've had friends that said that to me. They were like, you down? I'm like, no, I'm not coming with you.
and it truly does work. They use it as a network.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's a game.
You got a social life.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, we can't get on them without getting on the politicians.
Are you right? But the church is a gang of ladies with fans.
Yeah. Ladies with hats too.
That can sing.
The hat
I'm protective of pastor.
That can sing.
Well, you got to figure this was all taken to a whole different level anyway when they started formalizing religion and starting taking control of it, rather it being something that we just gathered in one place because we wanted to, whether it be somebody's basement, somebody's house, whatever, and all just doing it for the purpose of praising God, you know.
So should the preachers and the pastors have a salary cap?
No.
I think it still should be a cap.
If they're doing this for the Lord, okay? We're talking
Lord
about, you know, that's it. You know, why in the world? It's just the same way priests do. Priests take a vow of celibacy, right? You know, and then they're in poverty. They take a vow of poverty for a reason. You know, because it's not supposed to be about, I don't want to make this be about greed. I want to make sure it stays about the Lord. So the point is what they do is they make sure that they want to keep their people who are preaching the word, okay, all about the word. Now, don't get me wrong, because the Catholic Church makes their money and some, and it goes to the higher ups, but it does not go to the priest. The people who are preaching the word truly do it because they believe in the word. And they ain't getting much money.
Yeah, priests are offering little boys in exchange
for
money.
Some of them.
Oh yeah, of course they are. That's all another.
And none.
But the pastor I say is different because you know a pastor might have a family, you know, and he has something to take care of. So I think
but
you know.
But at whose expense? That's the point. We need a check and balance system for them.
So
you know,
need to get
and no one's checking them. So if you say, hey, you know what, there's a cap for them, rather it be, you know what, the most you can make out of a church is, let's say if you wanted to say $100,000, which is definitely a generous salary a year, okay? Then in the rest, if you want need to make some extra money, you make it on your own extra jobs, rather you writing a book, I don't care if you're selling your CD.
Exactly, your own money.
But that's you doing on the side for you, but you ain't going to take from the people, okay? That's to make it a cap even more than that. So, you know, if your congregation is so big, you can't go beyond a certain percentage, okay, of what the church brings in, or what the salary 10% of each person's givens is, or whatever the case may be, whether it be the 1%, the 2%, whatever. If people are given 10%, the pastors really shouldn't go beyond 2-3% because you got to pay rent, light, gas, a bunch of other expenses that go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you take care of home before you start spending. The same way we do with our paychecks.
Exactly.
I know when I put my paycheck home,
I agree.
My bills and groceries and everything else got to be paid before I can think about spending any money. Just the same way if it was your own business. You got to put money back in your business and make sure everything is running right before you decide to take out. You can't just keep working. And I can't go and convince my boss, oh, you know what? You need to give me some. You can come up off $100 more today.
That's why I said it should be a cap because if it was, it would be so much money left over for the community that was what the church was generally supposed to have been helping out and doing stuff for.
Yep. And it should never even touch the extra money that's given
to have
for
open
extra
books
building
too.
Funds and, you know, community funds or whatever else people would donate out of their heart if they have any extra.
What about fortune tellers? Is it worth paying them? Is it worth spending your money there? There's a lot of them in the city. There's a bunch of fortune tellers in little spots beat your palm all over New York City.
Can't nobody tell me what my fate is going? Can't nobody stop my fate? Let's say even if you can tell me what my fate is, let's say I believe in it, and I believe you can tell me exactly what my life is going to be like. Can you stop bad things from happening? Can you can't even pinpoint exactly when the good things are, so I can, you know, either it's going to happen to me regardless of what you say.
Exactly.
You know, my fate is my fate. So why do I need to pay you to tell me what my fate is? I'm not that anxious. I don't even want to know. Okay? The way I've gotten to learn what life brings to you, I don't want to know what the future holds. Okay, let me have hope now.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how much people make money off of the simplest common sense situation, you know?
What you got going on back there?
Who's that?
So you know we got a jungle house over here.
Yeah. Full house, man.
You know we keep our family strong.
That's right.
I hear that.
Got to keep them together and keep them strong. I believe in that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. So once again, we are on Beast 2 Radio. Blog Talk Radio /Beast2Radio. Facebook /Beast2Radio. Twitter /Beast2Radio. Beast2Radio.com, where you can hear all of the archives talking about money. And again, if you are a funky male stripper like the caller said earlier, and you believe you want to defend yourself and believe you should have money, those big women are very hard to pick up. And call us. Now I'm on 4-338-1685.
Get a union for a stripper.
338-1685.
Should male strippers get a union? Is it worth the money?
Unionized male strippers.
They have to do it 9 to 5. That's amazing.
Well, should there be a weight limit?
Of the what, male stripper?
No, the male stripper to pick up, should the tips be bigger, the bigger the woman?
This male stripper should know what he can handle.
But
some women look the season.
I think so, yes, it should be.
Some women look the season. You can't tell what the new outfits you guys got these days.
Wow.
I don't mean to say it, but women have outfits that take off 30, 40 pounds now.
That's
and little gadgets that hide stuff.
Well, of course. Men do too. They just call it different names. You know, they don't call it girdles anymore. What do they call it? Corsets and all kind of stuff. It's called a girdle.
But some men, you know, we all right being out of shape. We know it's over. It's over. We out of shape. It's over.
It's different because men still have a life and everything. A fat woman is different.
I don't know. There's a lot of chubby cases out there now.
There's somebody that loves everybody. But, and I think them chubby cakes getting more and more in. But it's true, though. It's still different for a chubby man to a chubby woman.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely, it is. Absolutely, it is.
A chubby man be
accepted.
You feel
like
a model
a man
is big, nasty.
Right. Well, just like when a man is growing older, a man becomes more distinguished where a woman is old.
Yeah, old. Exactly.
Yeah, I was chubby 6 months ago.
Oh, please. Your chubby is not considered chubby. Shut up.
Baby, I'm telling you, I was 235 pounds. For me, that was big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for you. You know, for a man, if you're over 300, then we might say, you know what, you need to lose a little something.
Mm. But women
like big men if they got big pockets.
Yeah. What?
Look at the Braxton sister.
Yeah, but
exactly.
You're the opposite of track too to me. She looked like she might like big men. I have a friend that just like big men like that, like big men.
She looked like the big pockets of big boys got her attracted.
Most likely, of course.
Yeah, but I think she was dating people with money before. You know, she's been in that industry, but
so.
From what I understand, I think, you know, she wasn't in good relationships in the past, and I guess he treated her with respect. So it depends on how the person is treating you, too.
Oh, yeah, she put up with a lot with her. Oh, man.
Yeah.
we're just about winding down, but I see a caller here. 7509. You're on Beast 2 Radio.
Yo.
Who this?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, brother. What's up?
What's going on, man?
You sound like Bruce B, man.
Man.
This is Bruce Campbell.
What's up, Bruce?
I just want to say what's up to y'all, man. It's good to see y'all doing the show, you know, on various topics, just trying to, you know, open everybody's eyes to some things that's going on within our community and everything. So I was just calling the show to let y'all all know, on a spiritual level, there's a pastor. His name is Reverend Ray Hagins, R-A-Y-H-A-G-I-N-S, and he's on YouTube, and he has a very important message. It's Christianity versus or compared to African consciousness. And I think we all should take, you know, a listen to what he has to say, because he's putting it down in a way that we all could understand it, because he's been doing the thing, the religious, you know, thing for 30 years. So he's seen it, and he's been there, and he's trying to tell us some things that will benefit you and me and the community as a whole. And it's not, you know, a thing like a church type of thing. It's more of just coming to, together to heal ourselves of the things that's been going on and happening to us as a people, which seems to get ignored a lot. You know what I'm saying? Prime example is this Trayvon Martin thing, and we still want justice for that. And I just want to add one more thing. They never found Trayvon's phone. I don't hear him talking about that on the news either. So I just wanted to point that
out.
So
where you calling from, Cousin Bruce? This is another cousin.
Yeah, I'm calling from Beaufort, South Carolina. You know, I'm down here in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, wait. Bruce?
Yeah.
This the Bruce that
This Cousin Bruce. That used to be with Bad Boy.
What up, man?
Yeah. How you doing, Cat, man? I remember you, Cat, man. Positive vibes, you know what I'm saying? I remember I spent some time with you down there in Harlem.
Yeah,
and
man.
Everything, man. And I'm just happy y'all got an outlet, man, to let your voice be heard, because this is everywhere. This is the internet, man.
Yeah.
The World Wide Web. You know, so you got people from all over tuning in, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, man, thanks for calling, man. You know what I mean? Keep doing your thing.
Yeah, man. Most definitely. Just be on the lookout for me with a lot of information that's gonna help our people get out of the situation we in, man. Because, you know, we need a nation of our own. You know what I'm saying? As a people, you know, because they used to call us what? Colored. They used to call us Negro. They used to call us Afro-American, African-American. We got all these different names for one type of people that got melanin in our skin. You know what I'm saying? And we known around the world, and we don't have our own language. It's a very serious thing, man. And people got to open their eyes and really come out of this sleep that we in and try to just help each other out, man, and stop worrying about what everybody else got and what they doing, man, because they're going to have to deal with the things that they're doing and the things that they got. You know what I'm saying? We got to focus on ourselves, man, and just be better people and just share knowledge and try to help each other, man. That's the only way.
That's what's up, Bruce.
That's right, man. Well said, man.
Definitely.
Well, Bruce, man, thank you for calling, man, because we're about ready to wrap it up, man. You had a great show. Cousin O'Easy, we thank you for calling, too.
No doubt.
Definitely a family show right here. Right.
Oh, yeah. Check it out one more day before you go, man. Just check me out on my Facebook page. It's Bruce Campbell. I'm on Facebook. Come check me out. I got a lot of info on my page, you know what I'm saying, pertaining to the struggle and some eye-opening things, man. You know what I'm saying? I want to just say one more thing. They got some thing on there where if you mix in Coca-Cola with different types of candies and whatnot, you might not be aware of it. It might cause some internal, you know, combustion in your system. So we also got to watch the things we eating now, man, because there's a silent war going on right now, man. And we got to be aware. They're trying to get us through the food, people.
All right.
Get our diet straight, man.
All right.
So, yeah, we definitely
drink that water. Drink that water, y'all. Drink that water.
All right, Bruce. Yo, Bruce, right. I'm going to call you, man.
All right, cuz.
All right.
All right,
Cap. All right, bro. All
right, so this is definitely a family show, Kappa.
Yeah, this was family night, man. We talked about money, but it basically was family night.
Yeah.
You know, definitely appreciated everybody that called in and chimed in on the topic. You know, we hopped around on some subjects basically about money. But the one thing I want to leave everybody with, man, just loving each other is a lot more important than loving money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody needs to walk away with that, because some people lose themselves. Even in feeling that they have to earn, some people don't realize that even the person that loves them doesn't love them because they're giving them money. They love them for who they are. And sometimes money can get in the way of between people. And I would say, just for everybody out there, do your best to not let money come between you, whether it's the lack thereof or if it's an overabundant amount of it. Don't let it get in your way.
Well, make sure tomorrow night y'all tune in to TNT, the Tuesday Night Takeover with DJ OC. He'll be doing his thing tomorrow night from 10 p.m. to 1 p.m. as always. Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow night. And Mimi, want to thank you for coming down tonight. K. Nicole, want to thank you for coming down tonight and joining us on this topic.
Thank you. Right.
You're welcome.
Guys, have a good night.
And I'm going to preacher school, because that's where you can get your money and you can turn yourself around and get yourself a whole lot of cash and a Rolls Royce and a fur coat and all kinds of things like of that.
And on that note,
be sure.